Thank you so much, Stefan. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all. My name is Matt. If we've not met before, I'm on the team here. You've got a handout of where we're going, or an outline of where we're going on the handout you're given on the way in. And this is our last in the series that we've been doing in Matthew before we then start in 1 Thessalonians. The naughty step, the after-school detention, the disciplinary measure, the court-martial, they're all consequences of insubordination. Insubordination to parents, to teachers, to your commanding officer. For my minor acts of insubordination and rebellion during my GCSEs, I spent most of my science classes staring at the wall in the corridor. What about rebellion against the crown? Back in 1305, the Scotsman Sir William Wallace, from Braveheart fame, Mel Gibson, Braveheart, he led a rebellion against King Edward I. Spoiler alert, he lost that, and he was convicted of high treason and was subsequently hung, drawn, and quartered. I haven't seen our resident Scotsman here, but a warning to any Scotsman about. And these days, high treason, it'll land you a life sentence. And the last case was back in 2021 when an individual armed with a crossbow was found on the grounds of Windsor Castle. What about high treason against King Jesus? Remember the narrative so far. Jesus had entered Jerusalem riding on a colt. The king had come to his city. And then he entered the temple and he upended the tables of the money changers and he drove them all out, a judgment on the fruitlessness of the temple. And now the day after, he has returned. And there in the temple, he gathers a crowd and begins to teach them. But as he starts, the chief priests and the elders, they spot him, aha, Jesus, and they come over. And they say to him, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? And Jesus exposed them as those who claim religious authority, but do not submit to heavenly authority. That's what we saw last week. They did not submit to the authority of John, who was sent from God, and so by implication, they will not submit to him. We said that in the first instance, Jesus was exposing the attitude of the first century religious leaders, Jewish religious leaders. They claimed religious authority, but didn't submit to heavenly authority. But we also said that in the second instance, it's an expose of any religious leader who claims that authority from God, but does not submit to what God says. And we thought about those within the current established church. What we didn't say, but which we could also draw, is that this is an indictment of the world. Israel's attitude towards its king, it's representative of the world's attitude. Israel is a microcosm for the world. And we're fully aware that we live in a culture that does not honor or respect the kingship of Jesus. Dutch theologian Abraham Kuyper famously said, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is king over all, does not cry mine. Yet not many friends or colleagues or neighbours or clubmates recognise this. We're in the minority, clearly, otherwise our churches would be packed full of people. Insubordination, rebellion, high treason against the king. Jesus exposed it last week. And he then goes on to tell three parables, three stories, outlining the consequence of this insubordination, the first of which we're looking at this morning. And so let's look at the parable, and then we'll look at its interpretation. Verse 28, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterwards he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Two sons, one command, two initial responses, and then two final acts. It's not hard to imagine. It's the school holidays. The sons, they're at home and they're in their bedrooms. And, you know, the first son, he's playing FIFA in his bedroom, and the other son playing with Lego. And the father comes in and says to the first, go work in the vineyard. Notice that it's a command. It's not a request. It's not a, oh, would you mind? Or please, could you go work in the vineyard? It's a father telling his son, go to work. But the response is rude defiance. No, I will not. In our culture, I guess this would be rude, shows a lack of submission to the father. But of course, especially rude, outrageously rude in a first century Middle Eastern culture. It is defiance, a snub of the father. But the father is patient and he walks away. And he goes to the second son and he says the same, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And with great enthusiasm, the second son says, yes, I will. I will go and work. Yes, sir. He commits himself to his father's will. He respects and honors his father. Well, out in the vineyard, the father has begun the work. I don't know what you do on a vineyard. I've never worked on a vineyard, but I assume that it's, you know, tend to the plants, or maybe dig out some stuff, do a bit of weeding, do a bit of watering, whatever it might be. He's at work. He's bent low, weeding. And he straightens up and he sees a son coming towards him. And it is the first son. He's changed his mind. And all day, the two of them work together. But there is no sign of the second. Which of the two did the will of his father? The first one, of course. That's the parable. That's the parable that Jesus tells these religious leaders. Two sons, one command, two initial responses, and two final acts. Now for its interpretation, halfway through verse 31. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your minds and believe him. There are two groups of people here. Firstly, the tax collectors and prostitutes. These are the morally repugnant. Even today, the group that has a low standing in society, greedy, loose, not loving others, not honoring God's design for sex, at last to be worthy of the kingdom of God. If anyone is going to be left out, it's going to be these guys. But when God gave a command through John, making known the way of righteousness, declaring, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, it was the tax collectors and the sinners who changed their mind. Repent. That's what it means, to change one's mind. It's an inward conviction that you've been ignoring God, living against him your own way, and that you need to turn back. Regret for sin. Well, they had that inward conviction, and they changed their minds. They believed, and so they will enter the kingdom. In the parable, they are the first son, though initially rude and disobedient and insubordinate, rebellious, living their own way, they then change their mind, they repent, and they do the will of the Father. A couple of months ago, someone told me about a podcast they'd listened to, and the guest on the podcast now is serving as a minister of a church in West London, but in a previous life, he was working in the sex industry. He was in porn. And the things that he described, well, they are morally repugnant. His previous life, he was pretty down about it and down about all the things that he'd done. And he met someone in the gym who was a Christian, and they invited him along to church. And so he came along to church. He heard the gospel, the good news of Christianity, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And he did. He became a Christian, and he now serves in a church in West London. The first son, ignoring the God who made him, living in disobedience, insubordination, but then a change of mind, belief in God, a new eternal home, the kingdom of God. The kingdom is open, no matter people's moral backgrounds. Those of us here this morning who trust in Jesus, we are the first son. We know how sinful we are. We've just confessed it. The mistakes that we've made and the regrets that we have, and those times in our lives, the periods where we've not been living for God. We know how sinful we are. We know we've said no. And what a wonderful reminder. What a wonderful reminder of the goodness of the gospel, that in spite of our wickedness and our sinfulness, the kingdom is open, even for sinners like us. Our final song, it will describe the fountain of blood, the cross that washes away sin, that enables us to come into God's kingdom. How wonderful. Well, that's the first group of people. The second are the ewes. Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your mind and believe him. Who are the ewes? Who is he talking to? It's the chief priests and the elders. And the chief priests and elders who have seen the tax collectors and the prostitutes entering into the kingdom of God, believing, having a new relationship with God and a wonderful future. As if they're standing at the front of a big house with open doors, a party inside, and they're seeing all these people flooding in. But when they see this, they don't join. They don't change their minds. They don't believe. They don't follow. They remain on the outside. The chief priests and the elders, they heard John, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But they did not believe him. They rejected heavenly authority. They rejected this command ultimately from God. They will reject God's king. They show themselves to be the second son. Where the first son was initially disobedient and changed his mind, did the father's will, the second son was initially honoring, initially enthusiastic, but in the end didn't do his father's will. Now, these religious leaders, they claim to be on God's side, but they don't submit to God's will. They reject heavenly authority. They do not do the will of the Father. They honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. They're the second son, ultimately disobedient and rebellious and insubordinate. In the end, they reject God's king, high treason. And the consequence of this is a shut door. No entry. The kingdom of God, life, immortality, relationship with the Creator, rescue from sin, goodness and life in the world to come, and they find themselves on the outside. On the outside, where Jesus elsewhere in Matthew's gospel describes it as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. The kingdom of heaven will be populated, but not with them. They will be found on the outside. They who have not submitted to his authority, they have barred entry into the kingdom. Our modern sensibilities might find this hard to swallow. We like inclusion. We like everyone is welcome. We like everyone gets a prize, no one left out. And we don't really like retributive justice. We don't really like the suffering of others. We'd rather be kind than just. We'd rather let people off rather than lock them up. Until, of course, we've experienced injustice ourselves or have seen it happen to someone we've loved. But it is fair, and it is the decree of the king. And when we find this unfair or extreme or hard to swallow, I think it is worth going back to who Jesus is. Jesus is the king. He is the king with all authority. There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is king over all, does not cry mine. He deserves the honor and the respect due to him. rebellion, it cannot be swept under the carpet. He cannot turn a blind eye to treason. The consequence of this treason is a shut door. No king, no kingdom. It is fair. It is right. And Jesus makes it very clear that they are the ones culpable for this. They didn't believe. Twice he says that. Verse 32, you did not believe him. The tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your minds and believe him. They are culpable for this. They did not believe. They did not enter. And so they'll be shut out. For some of us, it might come as a surprise that we have these religious leaders, the religious establishment on the outside. But in the end, they are the disobedient son. The second son, he said, yes, sir, or yes, Lord, in the Greek. Well, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The consequence for treason against King Jesus is denied entry into his kingdom. Insubordination leads to a shut door. Imagine a great party, maybe a wedding, maybe a party that you've been to. Jesus often uses parties and weddings as a description for the kingdom. Champagne, great food, rich food, M&S canapes, music and song and dancing, singing. You can hear laughter coming out of the party. The kingdom of heaven, life and immortality, relationship with our Creator, rescue from sin and every evil. The kingdom of God. And the consequence for rebellion against the king is a shut door, no entry. It just goes to show that the thing that matters above all is one's attitude towards King Jesus. And so some final takeaways for us before we finish. Over the last 2 weeks, Jesus has exposed and condemned religious authority, which does not submit to heavenly authority. And these episodes are here for our benefit. Watch out. Avoid. Watch out for those who claim religious authority but do not submit to heavenly authority. Avoid them. They're not on the side of Jesus. You are in the kingdom. They are not. Secondly, if we are here and today we also are denying the kingship of Jesus, well, this passage should be a warning to us, a genuine warning, a sincere warning. If you don't change your mind, then this will be your fate as well. A shut door, no entry, no king, no kingdom. And finally, remember the wonderful good news of the gospel. The wonderful good news that sinners, with all of our past regrets, the things that we've done wrong, the rebellion that we've been in against our King, forgiven at the cross, so that we might have a relationship with God and enter into his kingdom, eternal life with our King. Let me lead us in a prayer there. Father God, we do thank you so much for Jesus' teaching. We thank you for his clarity. We thank you that it is clear that those who do not respond to him in submission find themselves on the outside. But we also thank you, Father, for this wonderful reminder that as we come to the Lord Jesus and submit ourselves to him and find forgiveness in him, we can enter his kingdom and look forward to eternal life. And we thank you in his name. Amen.